Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Courtesy of Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer and 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, Chris Fedor. You can find him on Twitter at Chris Fedor. Hello, Chris.
What's going on, Ken? How are you, buddy?
And folks, a man from Cleveland, I'm doing well, a man from Cleveland who's not afraid to make Indians blew a 3-1 lead in the World Series joke.
Well, you have to, because if you don't do it, then other people are going to do it. So
you tag me the one day. Oh, Chris, why would you tag me in such a thing? Because I didn't want to see the responses that you got. I had to log off Twitter.
The best way for it not to bother you, because you were on the other end of that, is to make jokes yourself. It's like a preemptive strike, Ken. You got to embrace that.
No, I just went. There's sometimes, Chris, where I just go, you know what? I just don't have the time for you. I cannot. I have no patience. I do not have the time. I can't do it, Chris. I can do it right now, though, with you. First, let's start with the Cavs last night. Did they flip the switch? Because I don't think they did yesterday afternoon.
No, apparently they're waiting for the NBA Finals.
I suppose.
I think it's to a point where at some point you just are who you are and you have who you have. And I get the whole idea of flipping a switch from the standpoint of, okay, you're in the postseason, you can lock into one opponent. You're obviously going to play with more intensity and more energy, and you're going to play different lineups, and you're going to shorten your rotation, and you're not going to use guys that could have been liabilities for you throughout the regular season. Like, all those things are going to make the Cavs better in the postseason, Ken. All those things are going to make other teams better in the postseason. It's natural. But the idea that they can go from the 22nd defense in the NBA and one of the worst defenses, the second worst defense in the NBA since the All-Star break, to some team that's going to start winning games because of defense, I simply don't buy that sort of thing. Last year, the Cavs were 10th in defense, and then in the postseason, they supposedly flipped the switch. They were 9th in defense in the postseason. So I think this team is just built in a way, and at some point you say their personnel is not going to allow them to ever be a great defense because they don't have great individual defenders, and they're going to have to, Ken, win a lot of games throughout the postseason with their offense the way that they did the other night against Indy.
Well, you know, and I know we mentioned it as analysts and as fans. I think it's a very dangerous game to say flip the switch with the rest of the team, because I think LeBron can do it. I think that's what separates him from the rest of the generation, is very rarely do we see a guy, and it's maddening because we're supposed to try hard, but there's nights where he goes out in the regular season, he just isn't trying hard. And then he'll go out in certain games and he'll do what he did against Boston and he'll take over in a couple of games in the postseason. I think he'll do it. I think to a certain degree Kyrie Irving will do it. Maybe Kevin Love. Other than that, you know, there's a big drop off there. And you have guys on that team, they've already won a championship. Their legacies aren't defined by rings. Their legacies aren't put up there with Michael Jordan and some of the greatest of the game. I wonder if that's a dangerous game about motivation to some guys who, you know, once it's already been done, it's going to be hard to do it again.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things, Ken, that they have struggled with here in this season. And I've been talking to a lot of the veterans behind the scenes. And one of the things that they always say is most difficult about trying to repeat is it's not just that everybody's gunning for you and everybody's making moves to beat you. Like in the offseason, the teams in the Eastern Conference, they made moves thinking, how can we best beat the Cavs in a 7-game series? And then other teams around the NBA were thinking the same thing, because you're the champ, you're on top, and everybody's gearing up to try and take a run at you. But it's handling the new expectations and the new pressure that comes with being a champion. And sometimes it's very difficult. It might be just as difficult, Ken, to handle prosperity as it is to deal with adversity. And I think this team, this Cavs team, last year, their entire run was built on handling adversity, overcoming a coaching change midway through the season, overcoming a terrible loss in March against the Brooklyn Nets that allowed them to come together, overcoming a 3-1 deficit against the Golden State Warriors. They seemed to be at their best when a lot of people were counting them out and a lot of people had them backed into a corner. But this group, it seems like, has a hard time for one reason or another. Nobody's really been able to pinpoint exactly why, but this group has a hard time dealing with prosperity. And it's something that you can only learn over time. I mean, J.R. Smith came from New York to Cleveland and then became a champion in about a year and a half. Same thing with Iman Shumpert. He knew nothing about winning. Suddenly he comes to Cleveland. It's a different culture. They win a championship. And now that's a new thing that he's had to deal with, that pressure, those expectations. And there are some guys in that locker room that have not handled it as well as maybe the organization would like them to.
Chris Vitor joining us, Cleveland.com, 92.3 The Fan. What does Ty Lue actually do?
Well, now he's in charge of the entire defense. So all the questions that we had, Ken, about the defense during the regular season, that was more about the assistants. It wasn't about game planning. Ty is now taking over the defense. So if there is not defensive improvement here in the postseason, the finger has to go at him because he's taken that over. He was Doc's right-hand man in Boston. And then with the Los Angeles Clippers and in the postseason when those two teams got there, he was responsible for putting together those game plans and adjusting on the fly. And that's what he's doing now with the Cavs. He has taken that over completely here in the postseason. The rotations, if you have problems with rotations, if he's playing guys that probably shouldn't be playing or he's not playing guys that should be playing, then that's on him. So those, to me, are the most important things for Ty throughout this postseason run is the rotations, the lineup combinations, and the adjustments that he makes on the defensive end. Because if those things aren't right, that is solely on Ty Lue.
Percentage chance this Cavaliers team gets back to an NBA Finals?
Well, I think it's extremely high, Ken. And I don't think it's necessarily so much about them. Look, part of it's about them. They're the most talented team in the Eastern Conference. That didn't change throughout the course of the regular season. In most series, they're going to go in, no doubt, with the best player on the court who's going to impact a series in a way that nobody else in the Eastern Conference can impact that series. And then in some series, they're going to have the two best players on the court. It's very, very difficult for any Eastern Conference team to contend with them from a talent standpoint. So part of it's about them. There's no question about it, Ken. But the other part of it is that the Eastern Conference does not have another legitimate title contender. And each team that you can make an argument for, Kenny, you can say, okay, in a seven-game series, they can push the Cavs, or they can make it tough on the Cavs. You can poke holes in every single one of these teams. Boston doesn't have a legitimate second scoring option, so teams can just load up on Isaiah, and Boston can't rebound the basketball. You got to rebound to win a championship. Washington is not good enough executing in the half court, and they had a worse defense than the Cavs throughout the course of the regular season. Toronto's an interesting team because they're the only team in the Eastern Conference, this includes the Cavs, that's top 10 in offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency, and they made trades at the trade deadline that made them even better, more equipped to handle the Cavs in a seven-game series. But DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry haven't been great in the postseason, and now they're down 0-1 against the Milwaukee Bucks. So there's just not that team lurking there in the Eastern Conference that I think can beat the Cavs four times in seven tries, despite the fact that the Cavs have these kinds of flaws. I think the flaws that the Cavs do have, though, Ken, are going to be exposed by a great team. There just isn't another great team in the Eastern Conference. That would happen in the finals.
Chris Vitor joining us on the show. Is Brad Stevens overrated?
I don't think so. He doesn't have a lot to work with. I mean, think about it. When it comes to Boston, they're one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA. They can't defend the paint. I mean, is that a formula for success in the postseason?
No.
Certainly not. And then if you talk about offensively for Boston, look what teams are doing. The Cavs did it when they beat Boston by like 20. They just loaded up on Isaiah Thomas, and they said, okay, look, if Jaylen Brown's going to beat us, we tip our cap. If Jay Crowder's going to beat us, we tip our cap. That's what Chicago did today. So in the playoffs, I think there's a certain formula, and one of the musts that you have to have is you've got to have that second legitimate scoring option so that teams can't do what they do against Isaiah Thomas on a nightly basis in a seven-game series, because every team is going to gear up to slow him down because he was that good for Boston. And if that's going to happen, other dudes have to consistently step up. Who's that going to be for the Celtics? Nobody has an answer for that. And that's part of the reason why the Cavs didn't care about the first seed in the Eastern Conference, Ken. because deep down, they don't believe that Boston's even going to get to the conference finals to make that matter.
Chris Fedor joining us, Cleveland.com, Cleveland Plain Dealer, 92.3 The Fan. So if Cleveland does lose before the NBA Finals, what happens then? How much of an overreaction should there be? Because it might be warranted if you're saying it's that high and it's that likely that the Cavaliers will go to the NBA Finals.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily an overreaction. I think it's just the way that this organization is wired, Ken. If they don't get back to the NBA Finals, they are going to assess everything. And that's what every team that has these kinds of expectations has to do. You have to evaluate everything and say, okay, are we good enough here? Are we good enough there? Are we good enough at head coach? Do we have the right big three? Like, all of these questions, when you have these expectations, they have to be asked if you don't reach those expectations. So if the Cavs don't get to the NBA Finals, I think the conversation, Ken, is going to pick up again, and it's going to center on Kevin Love and whether he's the right member of this big three and whether they'd be better off with somebody else, maybe a Carmelo Anthony type.
Is that real quick? Well, you're mentioning Carmelo here. Now we're going down a real wet rabbit hole now, and I only got so much time.
But it's a name that only gets linked to the Cavs, Team Banana Boat.
Well, you know, you can't fight the banana boat, okay? They met with that wine. That wine was powerful stuff, okay? You can bring them all back together. Chris Fedor joining us on the show. Is that warranted, though, with Kevin? Should that be that way, or is he a scapegoat?
Well, I think the only reason that it's that way, Ken, is because he's the guy with value. So if the Cavs don't get to the NBA Finals, or if they don't believe that they're good enough to beat Golden State or San Antonio or Houston or something like that, right? And they say, we have to make a move so that we can close the gap on those teams out west. What are they going to do? Trade him on Shumpert? What are they going to get back from him? Are they going to trade Derek Williams? What are they going to get back from him? So it's about finding a guy that you think is the best combination of expendable and valuable. And I think the only guy that fits that profile that's going to bring enough back for the Cavs to potentially, in their mind, close the gap on the other teams is Kevin Love.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.